Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we are moving through the New Testament, and we are doing it in 10 to 12 minutes a day. We went to 13 minutes the other day. So we are trying our best, though, to try to keep it down. And we're in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, again, he's the Gospel of action. He moves from one thing to the other thing, moves pretty fast, moves pretty rapidly. So there we are in chapter 2. So let's pick up in verse 1. A few days later, after what? After Jesus had healed the man with leprosy, he again entered Capernaum. So this is the town that he's using as his headquarters. It's around the Sea of Galilee, and he's there. He's got some kind of residence there. He keeps coming in and out of the town. And the people heard that he had come home. So they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Well, Jesus is always preaching. He's always teaching. Whenever you find him, that's what he's doing. And now he's back in his hometown, and people are aware of what's going on with him and what's happening. So some men came. I love this account. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. I like the idea that these four guys have a paralyzed friend. Isn't that cool that they're friends with this guy? A lot of times, you know, people who are, as we call it, handicapped, often they're lonely. People don't have time for them. People don't come around them. And I like the idea that this guy has four friends. Hey, having four friends is quite the feat. It's not easy to have four friends. So carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, digging through it. Digging is the key there, because these roofs were made out of all kinds of material, reeds and leaves and mud and clay. And so they're digging through it. And they lowered the mat the man was lying on right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, I like that it was their faith, he saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What a great thing to have all of your sins forgiven, to be washed, to be right with God, to know that you're going to heaven. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there. They're sitting there evaluating, taking notes, criticizing. Some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who alone can forgive sins? He's making himself to be God." And so some people say, you know, Jesus never claimed to be God, and there's no place in the scripture that he claims to be God. Well, these guys thought that he was making statements that aligned himself with being God. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. Well, that's the bad news. Jesus knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking in your heart. And he said, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up, take up your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." I like that Jesus sends the guy home. He's not saying, you know, come and follow me and be a disciple, but go home and tell everybody the great things that the Lord has done for you. So he's not asking of them that same sort of vocational commitment that these other guys made, these 12 and, you know, maybe, you know, a larger group than that. But he's telling the guy to go home. Have a life. Start a life for this guy. And so you and me can say to someone, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." And someone can say, "Well, who are you to say that he can have his sins forgiven?" And Jesus said, "Well, I'll show you who I am. I'm going to tell the guy to take up his mat and walk," this paralyzed man, and he did. So the miracle is certainly that the guy was healed, but also that he could walk. You know, he hadn't learned how to walk. Most of us have to learn how to walk, and it takes us quite a while. It takes us many years to really learn how to walk. And sometimes for me, I get up out of bed in the morning and I try to move my legs and I can't walk as an adult. So this guy walked. That's a miracle too. And he walked home. And he got up, he took up his mat, and he walked in full view of all of them. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, and they said, "We've never seen anything like this." Well, this is kind of a theme with Mark, where people are going to be saying, we've never seen this before. This is amazing. We've never seen anything like this. The word amazed. You see, Mark loves the power. He loves that Jesus has power over the paralyzed. Jesus has power over sin. So once again, Mark moves right along. Once again, you know, after this, immediately, let's go to the next one. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. He likes it by the lake, and he likes to teach. He teaches by the lake a lot. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. He likes to be by the lake. He likes to teach. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. Now, they didn't like the tax collectors because the tax collectors collected money from the neighborhood, money from the local businesses, and gave it to Rome. And they knew what was going on in those local neighborhoods. They knew what was going on in those local businesses, and they gave it to Rome. So they were not liked. And Jesus calls this guy to himself. Now, he's well-to-do, this guy. He's well-to-do. He's connected. Probably, you know, I don't know, does he feel a lot of need? Obviously, he feels the need to follow after Jesus. But Jesus said, follow me, he told him, and Levi got up and he followed him right away. And he had known what was going on. These tax collectors know everything that's going on in the neighborhood. So he had definitely been aware of what was going on with Jesus. And while he was having dinner at Levi's house, invited him over his house, I knew a guy some years ago, who he had read this passage. He was a business person himself, and he decided he was going to have Matthew's party. He was going to have Levi's party. And every once in a while, he'd throw this big party and invite all his business associates over and do whatever he did with his business associates, you know, have some big dinner. And then at some point, he would tell them about Jesus. And so he was at Levi's house, and many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. So the group's getting bigger, people following him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples. They didn't ask him. They asked his disciples. That's kind of the way that gossip works. You know, you go ask somebody else, try to put a bad seed in their head. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Well, Jesus heard it. They asked the disciples, and Jesus heard it, and Jesus answered it. And he said, listen, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not called the righteous, but the sinners. And so there's a blessing. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you recognize your spiritual poverty. Blessed are you when you recognize that you can't do this on your own, that you can't get to God on your own. You're blessed. Well, these guys didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize that they were sick and that they were wretched and that they were poor. They thought they were really something. And Jesus said, you know, I've come to call the sick, so you need to recognize that. The thing about coming to Jesus is you need to recognize that you're a sinner. And these guys weren't ready to do this yet, but they will be. Later on in the book of Acts, we find out after the resurrection that a lot of the leaders and the Pharisees were following Jesus. Verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. That was a common religious thing to be doing. And some people came to him and they asked Jesus, they said, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? How come it's that way? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? So a couple of things going on here. One of them is that Jesus likens following him to a party, to a wedding reception. And so how can you fast at that time? At the wedding reception, you don't want to say, you know, you're fasting. You want to come in and participate. They've put it together for you. They put the feast together for you. He said they can't as long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they'll fast. And he said, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new would pull away from the old, making the tear worse. So you don't take the new piece and put it on the old that has already shrunk. You know, now we have pre-shrunk material. Then they didn't. You know, you buy the material that's already pre-shrunk. Sometimes you don't. You ever buy a shirt or something and it's not pre-shrunk and you wash it and it doesn't fit you anymore? You just got one washing out of it? Well, most of ours are pre-shrunk. But you don't take the new material that's not shrunk and put it on the old piece, because when it shrinks, it will tear away. And he said, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Same thing, it would put the wine into these wine skins, animal skins, and it would ferment. If it was old and cracked, then it would burst when it fermented. And so Jesus essentially is saying, you know, you can't put this new thing that he's doing into the old system, into the old structures. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. You can't patch it up. You can't patch up this old religious system. It's going to be a whole new thing. And then one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples as they walked along, and they began to pick some heads of grain. And the disciples said, look, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? Well, first of all, it was a thing that they called gleaning from the Old Testament. It was a way of taking care of travelers and poor people, that if you were traveling, you could walk through a grain field and just pick off the stuff and eat it. But you couldn't take it and put it in your pocket or put it in a bag, you know, put it in a bushel basket. You know, you could eat it on the go. And they were doing, you know, what they could do. But the Pharisees saw that as working, and since you weren't supposed to do any work on the Sabbath, they were all upset. And Jesus said, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar the high priest? He entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which is only lawful for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions, David did. And then he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath also. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And Jesus gave these people, the tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel, you know, a day of rest. And they turned it into a legalism. They turned it into a burden. They turned it into a chore. You know, God has given us life, I think is what Jesus is saying here, is that he has given us life and life more abundantly. And you're supposed to enjoy your life. You're supposed to love God. You're supposed to love people. You're supposed to enjoy your life. So Bible and Daily Life, find us wherever you found us, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, iTunes. Hey, bless you guys. Let's move along.